of Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa Jumu Mubarak. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون. Dear believers, seeking refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy, and with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is He and supreme above all things, says in the Quran, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, Aleph Lameem. Do you think that you will be left alone on saying, we believe, and that you will not be tested? We did test those before them, and Allah will certainly know those who are true from those who are false. We say, Sadaq Allahu Azeem, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. And just pulling up there for just a moment, dear believers, inshallah, our topic today is keep the faith. Allah's help is always near. Keep the faith. Allah's help is always near. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you to allow me to be a little selfish today. And what I mean by that is, maybe this khutbah is more for me today than it is for you. The truth of the matter is, all of us are going through something. All of us have challenges, tests, and trials in life. It's just inevitable. And you'll see by these verses that we've chosen, and inshallah, with the commentary that we give, you'll see that this is all part of what Allah has decreed. It's all part of the plan. Allah says another place in the Quran, never despair. Do not despair lest your power depart from you. See, Allah wants us to keep the faith through the difficulty. It is in the desperation and the hopelessness that Satan wins. Now, looking at these verses here, Allah asks a very emphatic statement, very clear statement. Do you think your uttering of belief is enough? There's a lot of people like that. I believe. And then a lot of times when you look at their lifestyle, it doesn't resemble a person of faith. It doesn't resemble someone who has faith. But my point is, our religion requires you and I to act. This is not a Friday thing. We have to live, apply, and practice this way of life. So, brothers and sisters, it's clear. Because you're sincere, and you sincerely say you believe, do you think that is going to exempt you from test? That's going to exempt you from challenges in life, from setbacks and false starts. Is that going to exempt you alone? Because again, you all know I work in a prison environment. And a lot of the inmates that they had a certain lifestyle before Islam. Most of the Muslims incarcerated were not Muslims when they came in. So they take this declaration of faith. They start studying the religion. And somehow they think it's add water and stir, that it's poof, it's magical, that because they're Muslims now, that the warden is just going to open the back gate and let them out. When in reality, some of these men have been very disappointed because they get what they call set-offs. They come up for parole and they get set off for two more years. Come up for parole and get set off for two more years. See, this can frustrate anyone. But then if a Muslim has the false notion that now that you're a Muslim, everything is going to be perfect. No more strife, no more problems, no more worries. You don't understand this religion. So I tell them, hang in there. What you have to realize, Allah has forgiven you. If your Shahada Tang was sincere, Allah has forgiven you for your acts of the past. But you have set wheels in motion that have to continue. You've already set something in motion. And what you're experiencing is the consequences of what you set in motion, even in your ignorance. Now, Allah can cushion it for you. He can have mercy. But you're going to just have to play this out. And it's all a test. Do you think you'll be left alone on merely saying you believe and you will not be tested when Allah clearly says, Yarhamakallah, that Allah clearly says that it has always been my way to test the believers. Brother Salim, would you take a look at that AC, please? Thank you. Now, continuing in this surah, Allah asks another question. Do those who practice evil think that they will get the better of us? Evil is their judgment. Now, brothers and sisters, in my humble opinion, this suggests that sometimes you and I think that our righteousness is of no consequence. In other words, it seems like all of the evil people, all of the wrongdoers, all of the corrupt people seem to be faring well. And in your righteousness, oh, you poor, you broke, you struggling to make ends meet. One hardship after another. So Allah is pricking our consciousness here. Do you think the wrongdoers, do you think the ones that are doing evil, that they will get the better of us? Allah reveals that it is their evil that will do them in, their corruption that will do them in. Biblical language says, as you sow, so also shall you reap. So we believe this as Muslims also. So the point I'm making here is it's still a test of faith, because will you remain decent, moral, upright, righteous in the face of this, what seems to be your efforts seem to be of no avail. Allah says another place, nothing that the believer does is lost. Nothing. Not even an iota is lost. Praise be to Allah. For those whose hopes is in the meeting with Allah in the hereafter, let them strive for the term appointed. By Allah is surely coming, and he hears and knows all things. And if any strive with might and main, they do so for their own souls. For Allah is free of all needs of his creation. I got to pull up again. Brothers and sisters, it is our desire to please Allah. We love Allah. We have this thing we call taqwa. This word is a word of love and endearing. It's a word that suggests I have sacred regard, I have reverence, I have respect. Just like you want to please your parents. If you have a healthy relationship with your parents, you want to please your parents. We want to please Allah. But then Allah reminds you, don't think you're doing me any favors, though. Don't think your righteousness benefits me. This is Allah talking, not Omar. Don't think your righteousness benefits me. I am free of all wants, worthy of all praise. In other words, what you do is an investment in your own soul. What you do is an investment in the eternal home we call the Akhirah. The eternal home, praise be to Allah. Literally translated the hereafter. But we've talked about that too. There's an everyday hereafter, and then there's the ultimate hereafter. You can talk to me about that later. Praise be to Allah. And lastly, in this surah, those who believe and work righteous deeds, from them shall we blot out all evil that may be in them, and we shall reward them according to the best of their deeds. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters, I love that phrase. I love that mercy. I love that kindness from Allah. That even when we fall short, the fact that we're not perfect, free from flaws, we are perfect human beings, but we're not perfect, meaning free from flaws. Allah says, based on your intention, based on your striving, your giving of your might and main. Might and main is poetic language. It simply means you're giving your all, everything you give in the path of Allah, your wealth, your energy, your time, your sacrifices, sometimes your family. I'm not talking about in that sense, but I mean in the sense that for Allah's sake, sometimes your family is neglected. Now, don't make that a habit. Your family has rights also, and this is what I struggle with, and Allah is the best knower. All I'm emphasizing here, dear family, is simply Allah will reward you and I according to the best of our deeds. And I don't have time. I won't get into the beautiful hadith. Well, I guess I'm into it now, but just very quickly. That Allah says that he rewards the believers 10 to 700 times for their good deeds. But Allah also says that if you intend a good deed and don't carry it out, you still get blessed for that. And then Allah says, if you intend a bad deed and change your mind, he changes it into a good deed. This is the mercy that we're talking about. What else does Allah say in the Quran? Allah says, or do they think that they shall enter the garden of bliss without such trials as came before those who passed away before you? Now I'm going to pull up there. And brothers and sisters, we know that ultimately these are talking about the ultimate realities. However, this religion and their sayings in our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that suggest that the heaven and the hell actually start in this life. If we can attain a certain blissfulness, a certain peace, a certain tranquility in this life, that is an indicator of what we can expect in the life to come. We get glimpses of it here. We get the fullness in the next life to come. The same is true for our hell. I'm not talking about pain and suffering, because Allah says that through the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that some of our pain and suffering is an expiation for our sins. So I'm trying to be clear, but I don't want to take too long. All I'm really saying here is that we should be striving for a certain level of peace and tranquility. Even there's a saying in the Bible about Jesus, alayhi salam, that he says, I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. Now, I don't know what that means to our Christian brothers and sisters, but what that means to me is that I can walk in the world and not be affected by the world. In other words, I'm in my own little bubble. I'm in my own little peace, my own little reality. In other words, they're not affecting me. Actually, I'm infecting them. I'm affecting them. And that's what we should be about. See, Allah says in Ali Imran, you are the best of peoples for all mankind. So we are to be making a difference. And we know in the golden ages we did. So brothers and sisters, we're saying a lot here. But alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Let me just finish this out. Or do you think that you shall enter the garden without trials? That's really where I was going. Because actually the trials in this life, when you overcome them, put you in a certain state of peace. Once you get through it, you hate it while you're going through it, but when you come out on the other side, that's why in the surah, Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَ. We translate that, verily, with every difficulty comes ease. But this pronoun here, this fi, is in. So what is the wisdom? In the difficulty is the ease. See, brothers and sisters, we can't appreciate ease if we have no contrast. And we have mothers here. I'm looking at three mothers back here. They know that when they're given birth to that life, that's a very difficult process. I can only imagine. But what is my point? As it's building up sometimes, they may even silently pledge to themselves they will never have sex again. We are never going to do this again, and you better not even look at me like that. It's how they feel towards their husband. But brothers and sisters, and my sisters are here, they'll correct me later if I'm wrong. Moments after that life comes out, though, it's a whole different feeling. I mean, they were in excruciating pain a minute and a half ago. But once that all comes out and the afterbirth and all of that, and they're holding that precious bundle in their arms, they're in a whole different space. And maybe a year later they say, and maybe we should have some more. You know, my wife way down the line talked about, we should have a baby. I said, no baby, baby. I mean, we was getting close to grandparents' age. We don't need to start over again. I'm joking now, but praise be to Allah. My sisters understand what I'm trying to say here. In the difficulty is an ease. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So, dear family, in closing out this part of the khutbah, let's look at a couple more verses from the Quran. We're talking about faith. We're trying to encourage, yes, myself and all of us, to keep the faith. If I was to interview each and every one of you, you have something to tell me that you have overcome recently. I talk about 5 years ago. In some cases, I'm not even talking 5 months ago. Some of us just came out of something. So, you know, Allahu A'lam on that. And I, you know, don't try to figure out who I'm thinking about. I could just be thinking about myself. I'm still in something. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Let's conclude this khutbah with a couple more verses. This is the first part anyway. Alhamdulillah. Allah said in the Quran, O you who believe, seek help with patience, perseverance, and prayer. For Allah is with those who patiently persevere. Now, brothers and sisters, I just remembered something that I missed the main point of the other verse that I didn't even get to. Allow me to just go back to it real quick, because this was the main point why I was reading. SubhanAllah. Or do you think that you shall enter the garden of bliss without such trials as came to those who passed away before you? They encountered suffering and adversity and were so shaken in spirit that even the messenger and those of faith who were with him cried out, "When will come the help of Allah?" I know there's a couple of you all can relate to that. Where is Allah? We've asked the question. Let's keep it 100. Where is Allah? How much suffering can I bear? We felt this. Now, that's in the crisis. Now, later on, we repented and asked forgiveness, and I'm sorry, and forgive me, Allah. But while you were in it, because Allah says he never places on us a burden greater than we can bear. And then the second surah, the 286 ayat, has a beautiful dua in there, asking Allah not to place on us a burden greater than we can bear, and to blot out our sins. But Allah also says that we get every good that we earn, and we suffer every ill that we earn. See, we don't want to admit that. Maybe this is my fault. Maybe I brought this on myself. But brothers and sisters, are we better than the messenger? He's crying out, "Where's the relief? When is the relief coming?" And how does Allah end it? Allah says, "Ah, the help of Allah is always near." Part of it is believing, brothers and sisters. Part of it is perception. Part of it, you heard it, is it half full, half empty? What is your attitude? That's what makes the difference. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Now let me go back. I'm going to move quicker now. I just read the verse where Allah says that you and I should go through our difficulty, and we should strive and persevere patiently. Perseverance is an action word. Perseverance does not mean make dua. Now, the Arabic is sabr. Sabr, we translate patience, but perseverance is in the sabr. So most people make a prayer and sit down and wait. No. Hey, perseverance is an action word. Do something. And then wait on Allah. But you're making dhikrs, you're making dua all along. In other words, you're remembering Allah. You have to remember Allah. Allah has to lift the curtain, so to speak. Nothing of harm, nothing of good happens without his permission. We get that. We understand that. But it's an action word. So what does Allah say? Believers, patiently persevere, but then he tells you, "You want to please me? You trying to please me? I love those who patiently persevere, that endure the suffering and not complain." Strange is the believer that everything is always alhamdulillah. I see a couple of you smiling. I don't even have to elaborate. You know the hadith. Roof just fell in, alhamdulillah. Just lost my job, alhamdulillah. Yes. Just had a new grandbaby, alhamdulillah. I ain't gonna just stay negative. We want some positive alhamdulillahs too. But that's what Allah says. The believer is grateful when good happens, but when bad happens, he's patient, and that's good. Both of them are good. Praise be to Allah. Let's keep moving. "And say not of those who are slain in the way of Allah, they are dead. No, they are living, though you perceive it not." Brothers and sisters, this lets us know that our perception is not necessarily Allah's perception. And what you think is a bad thing is actually a good thing. Alhamdulillah. Be sure, now listen to this one. Be sure we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, some loss in goods or lives or fruits of your toil, but give glad tidings to those who patiently persevere. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to remind you of another verse. We were talking earlier about the believer that feels, you know, I'm a believer now, nothing can go wrong. Allah says clearly in the Quran, similar tragedy, similar hardship touch the believers as the disbelievers. The difference is the believers have support, help, and hope from Allah. The disbelievers don't. So don't look for an easy life, dear family. Everything, you're going to be tested. You're going to be afraid sometimes. That's going to be a test. You're going to invest in something and lose it. That's going to be a test. You're going to lose your property. You're going to lose family members. All a test. I have to say this. In the Battle of Uhud, there's the verse came down in Surah Ali Imran that says the believers will not be left in their present condition until we separate the filthy from the clean. I'm paraphrasing. Here's the idea. This was a hard time. This was a time of suffering, a time of hardship. Allah says, I'm not going to leave you there, but this was necessary because in this difficulty, I manifested certain realities that you could not have gotten without the difficulty. So now, in this particular battle, because the same, there's a similar verse also in Surah Al-Anfal that deals with the Battle of Badr. But the Battle of Badr was a situation of manifesting the disbelievers from the believers. The difference between the two is that Uhud was not between the believers and the disbelievers only. It was to manifest who the hypocrites were among the Muslims. Oh, there's a difference because the believers are obvious. And I'm sorry, the disbelievers, obvious. We know the believers and the disbelievers, but in by the time we got to Medina, now there's people perpetrating. They're disguised. They're undercover, fronting as Muslims. So I'm going to put you in a bad situation because the hypocrite can't stand that. The hypocrite is going to show their true colors. So you think this is a bad thing. I'm telling you it's necessary so I can distinguish the filthy from the clean. Once I've done that, it'll be oh happy day again. Allahu Akbar. All right, I'm almost there, family. Give glad tidings to those who patiently persevere, who say, when afflicted with calamity, it is to Allah I belong, and it is to Allah that I shall return. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. See, at one point I thought we just say that when somebody dies. When you're afflicted with a calamity, I belong to Allah, so he can do with me as he pleases. This is the attitude of the believers. Those that have that attitude, Allah says, they are those on whom descend blessings from Allah and mercy. Those are the ones that receive guidance. Sadaqallahu Azeem, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Our Lord, we pray for excellence in this life. We pray for excellence in the next. Please save us from the torment and fires of sin. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Dear believers, before concluding this khutbah, we want to ask you all to continue to pray for the Muhammad family, Abdurrahim and Sister Rachel, Imam Abdurrahim. As you know, we had made an appeal. Sister Rachel has been diagnosed with some form of cancer, going through a certain procedure. And 5 times a week, she has to go back and forth to this procedure. And we're so grateful to Allah, and we thank you, Sister Ebony, for leading this effort and keeping us in the loop, informed, and helping, guiding us to success, because we were successful. We were able to raise over $300 to help their family with the expense of the travel by your generosity. And we thank you again, Sister Ebony, for your leadership. I was just informed that yesterday that Sister Rachel went to the mailbox and fell flat on her face. And praise be to Allah, nothing was broken. She did go to the hospital. And bruised, going to be black and blue and that kind of thing, sore, in pain. But alhamdulillah, no break. And we know our sisters had several falls. I'm just saying, keep each other in our du'as. We're going through some things. Many of us are, you know. I didn't say anything to you all, but I thought I was having a stroke last weekend. And I was out of work. I just went back to work yesterday. See, we don't say things. We don't communicate. People don't know what's going on with each other. Brother Abdullahi, the older brother, has been in the hospital twice. He's got pneumonia and shingles. Keep him in your du'a. I'm just letting you know the community is going through some stuff. We're so happy to see Brother Muhammad Chaudhry, you know, and I know I can say this and speak on his behalf. He thanks us for our du'a. Our brother had an accident, and dislocated, a fracture, broke his shoulder. Very painful, and very good to see you, my brother. Praise be to Allah, and I know you appreciate the du'a, and I know it helped. So, alhamdulillah. Just so much going on. So we thank Allah, brothers and sisters, and I won't just stay there, but just be aware. And again, this is not to stink up the atmosphere, so to speak, or make us feel down. This is just the realities of life. Allah blessed me to realize something. I'm being a little transparent now, okay? I've been feeling depressed, family. And you ain't, ma'am, you ain't supposed to be depressed. Be quiet. Stop it. All right? Just pray Allah we don't stay there. But you know what Allah blessed me to realize? My depression is not just about me. I'm depressed because of what I know is going on in my community. And I'm also depressed on what's happening in our nation. On the national scene, to see our young men being gunned down and no indictments. So it's just, and see so-called Muslims cutting off people's heads over in Syria. And brothers and sisters, this, if you are conscious, if you are alive, this affects you. I encourage you to go listen to a talk that Imam Fahim Shuaib gave on the 28th of November dealing with this, and what he pointed out is how we're connected with the whole nation, and how even though you may be absolved of crimes in your nation, you still should probably go to court on the international scene because you are violating international law. Anytime you violate the human rights of another human being and don't feel nothing, aren't even inclined to apologize, we need to take you to the United Nations. This is where he's coming from. This is an international incident. So brothers and sisters, I'm not quite myself, because I guess I have empathy, and I'm sure you do too. So this affects my spirit. And if you're depressed, it affects your energy level. Now, I guess one of my sisters knows now. She said, I need to talk to you about something. When can we talk? I said, I don't know when we can talk. I'm not there right now. I'm dealing with some stuff. Praise be to Allah. Again, forgive me. I asked you up front if I could be a little selfish. It's not about me, but I need this medicine. Faith. Just hold on. Allah's help is always near. Yes. Praise be to Allah. We want to acknowledge Sister Taraji and Brother Jahan with us today. Alhamdulillah, welcome. Always good to see you. I told Brother Jahan I missed him out there at the retreat. He said, yeah, I had to make them ends. Praise be to Allah. He said he was working. Sister Rabia, Brother Jay, good to see you all. Alhamdulillah. It's good to see all of you. And I want to say congratulations again to Brother Salim Islam and Sister Margaret. Another grandbaby. Tell Sister Mecca stop drinking the water, brother. Tell her. Every time she take a sip, praise be to Allah. I think there's a third one. Has she hit 30 yet? Praise be to Allah. It's always a blessing. It's always good, though. It's always good. Praise be to Allah. I'm going to end, dear family. I'm going to end. I'd like to end, if you all would just allow me. I'm not going to elaborate. They're self-explanatory. Allow me to read several ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very short on this idea of sabr, this idea of patience, because this is the medicine. This is what we need to be encouraged. That's one of the things I'm trying to do, inspire us. And so we keep fighting. We got to keep fighting. We got to keep fighting. Praise be to Allah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu related that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a believer, whether male or female, continually receives trials which affects himself, his children, or his property until she meets Almighty Allah with all sins wiped away. Abu Sa'id related that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever a Muslim is afflicted by any hardship, whether it be a chronic illness, anxiety, grief, harm, or a disaster, or even the prick of a thorn, Allah wipes away some sin, wipes out some of his minor sins. Suhaib related that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm not going to read that one because I already paraphrased it. Abu Hurairah related that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, that a strong believer is more dear and better to Allah than a weak believer, and there is good in both. I have to throw that in there because we don't see no value, I guess, in the weak believer. Hey, he cusses. She don't wear no scarf. We start judging each other. Yes, there are ranks and there are degrees, but Allah says all of us have value if we are a believer. So a strong believer is better and dearer to Allah than a weak believer, and there is good in both. Be eager for the benefits you seek. Be eager for what benefits you seek Allah's help, and do not be too weak to do so. If any misfortune befalls you, do not say, if I had done this or that, something else would have happened. But say instead, Allah decrees, and what he wishes he does, for saying, if he had done this or that, opens the door for the acts of the shaitan. Sadaq Rasulullah. And surely Allah's messenger speaks the truth. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin. Kama sallayta Ibrahim wa Ibrahim. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin. Kama barakta li Ibrahim wa Ibrahim fil alamin. Innaka Hamidun Majid. Amin. Aqim as-salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Shallu ala qalbi Allah. Shallu حيّر الصلاة، حيّر الفلاح، إقامة الصلاة، إقامة الصلاة، الله أكبر، الله أكبر.